Well, over the last several weeks, we've been asking the question, what does it look like? What does it look like to follow Jesus Christ? As a follower of Jesus, what's expected? We've asked, what's the cost? What are some of the behaviors? What are some of the characteristics of those who are fully devoted followers of Jesus? Since the beginning of the season of Lent, even though we don't follow that specifically and liturgically, we have a season where we're anticipating celebrating the crucifixion of our Savior who died in our place. The celebration on Easter morning that He has risen, that our sins are forgiven, that we have eternal life in Christ. And so over the last several weeks, we've been examining the Gospel of Luke to see how followers of Jesus Christ do certain things and live in a certain way in dependence upon the Lord. We looked at how followers of Jesus overcome temptation. We've looked at how followers of Jesus are called to be fishers of men, those who pursue others, that they might have the life-changing relationship with Jesus that they have. That followers of Jesus do something that is naturally impossible, of loving one's enemies. Robert Matthews led us through Luke chapter 9, where we saw how followers of Jesus deny themselves, take up their cross daily in order to follow Jesus. We looked at how last week, followers of Jesus, as Jordan Brown taught us, tell others about the present and coming kingdom of God, and how we can be a part of that and live in relationship with God forever. So this morning, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 17, where Luke records for us another critical, but I think often overlooked aspect, one that's just kind of taken for granted and assumed, but maybe not acted upon. What is it that followers of Jesus do regularly, quickly, and loudly? Well, they praise God. And they thank Jesus specifically for who He is and what He's done. Let's read, starting in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. While they were traveling to Jerusalem, so here we are anticipating Jesus has set a course to traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover for the final time. So as they were traveling to Jerusalem, He passed between Samaria and Galilee. As He entered a village, 10 men with serious skin diseases met Him. They stood at a distance because of their leprosy, because of these skin diseases. They stood at a distance and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now think about this. Leprosy was one of those diseases that just completely debilitated the body, slowly, agonizingly over time, including the vocal cords. And so it's not a yelling as we would, but a hoarse, coarse, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And yet, when He saw them and He heard them, verse 14, He told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And while they were going, they were healed. Verse 15, but one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice, this time not a loud, coarse, rough voice, but a voice that is healed, that is full. He returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God, and he fell face down at His feet, thanking Him. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, then Jesus said, "Were not nine cleansed? Where are the other nine? Didn't any return to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" And He told him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." There's an article published recently by the Brits, the Royal Society of Open Science. And it had some interesting things to do in their study about thankfulness. They studied 8 different languages over 5 continents by examining over 1,000 different interactions of a request and a response for help. It wasn't just a response of thank you, but they took anything that might indicate some form of gratitude, even responses like sweet or great, whatever it might be in whatever the language, any token of gratitude, any positive expression of gratitude for a response or a request for help. And their conclusion was that requests for help in their interactions of different people were made in 88% of the interactions that they observed. 88% of the conversations included some form of a request. It could be something as simple as pass the salt or pass the potatoes or would you open this for me? In any form of a request, requests were made or were met 88% of the time that people asked for something. But expressions of gratitude, this study shows us, were very infrequent across every continent, every language, every people that they studied. In fact, 5.5% of the time. Here's the speculation of the conformal everyday interaction across the world. The general norm is to tacitly acknowledge by simply continuing with one's activities, relying on a shared understanding of the good service of our mutual assistance and collaboration. In other words, as we often taken for granted when someone does something for another person, that it's interact with each other. When somebody does for something, it's implied thank you or sweet or great without actually saying it. Across cultures, this says that saying thank you is no longer needed. The lead researcher does some things with this. He says, we should not conflate, this is a Brit, we should not conflate the feeling of gratitude with the act of expressing it. In other words, just because people don't say thank you does not mean that they are ungrateful. The words, in some form, thank you. What is it? It's when somebody goes above and beyond the call of duty, something that's not expected, something that is not part of our social norm of just being courteous, being helpful, being polite, using manners. When somebody goes above and beyond the call of duty, that's most often when we express it verbally of thank you. So the one in Luke 17, this one Samaritan leper who returned to praise God, was he the only one that recognized this was unusual? 10 lepers, their course of life was set. Their bodies were debilitating. They were wearing out. And not only that, lepers, because of this skin disease, were not able to live in their home, even live in their village. They were shunned from society, cast out. Lepers. And yet, when Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest, and as they went, all 10 of them were healed, only one of them thought it was something beyond the call of duty, worthy of coming back and saying thanks. In the same way, we have a privilege and a responsibility, really a joy, of coming to God to praise Him and to say thank you to Jesus again and again, quickly, without taking it for granted, without thinking, well, that's just Jesus' call of duty to come and sacrifice Himself on the cross for us. And giving thanks to Jesus again and again, because of His love. And Jesus says, we're not 9 cleansed? Where are the other 9? How is it 5.5%, more than 1 out of 10? How do you and I be the one, Jesus, quickly, regularly, often, completely? How do we develop where we're quick to say thank you instead of just taking it for granted? How do we develop this? What? That all of them cried out and raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These 10 men with leprosy realized that their only hope, their only source of help. What they specifically wanted, at least what I would have asked for, was, Jesus, heal me from leprosy. But that's not actually what they said. It's what we don't deserve. Your kindness. Their condition made obvious that what they wanted Jesus to do required mercy. You know, we think we can kind of handle life on our own, that we can kind of manage, we can coast along, we can do our jobs, we can parent our children, we can care for our aging parents, we can handle our health. But on the real days, we're really no different than these 10. Because without the mercy of God, and hopeless, we can maybe do pretty good for a while in a short sprint at the 5-mile mark. We can't do it on our own. Continue to reflect often, daily, moment by moment, as we sang this morning, to reflect on His mercy. Because the stain of sin in our souls is permanent unless God Himself, to call out by the leper, like the lepers, we may not necessarily be physically devastated, but spiritually, our lives are no different. Deteriorating, separated from God. We can never thank Him enough for what He's done. One of the ways that we can go about 2 weeks is take some time intentionally, maybe over lunch break, maybe get up earlier in the morning. In addition to maybe whatever you're reading during your chapter 18 of Luke, read through the process and how Jesus was interacting with people, both religious and those who desperately recognize their need and recognize the mercy of God's mercy. Verse 14, we also see another aspect of this, that the 10 lepers responded in obedience. Rather than touching them or just pronouncing them clean, Jesus gave these 10 lepers a command. What was it? Verse 14, go and show yourselves to the priests. He was testing their faith through their obedience. It wasn't their obedience that healed them. No, it was clearly Jesus that did the healing work. And in order to obey, they had to believe Him enough to actually get up from where they were and go together to make the process and the steps and the journey to see the priest. Now, if you've read through the Old Testament and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and some of the law, it was important for any skin disease for them to go to the priest for healing and after healing. So it was something that they were doing in obedience to the Word of God. But what's unique here is as they heard the words of Jesus and obeyed and stepped out in faith, it was in that process that He healed them. They had to act with obedient faith. They listened to Jesus and obeyed exactly what He asked them to do. And it's the same with us. In order for us to be forgiven of our sins, we have to act in faith. We have to make that decision of recognizing our need of a Savior, our sinfulness, and how much we need God's mercy. And we have to act upon that information, that conviction of the Holy Spirit of our sin and our need of a Savior, to say, Jesus, I trust You and I believe You. I believe that Your death on the cross was sufficient to forgive me my sin, and I believe that You rose from the dead to conquer death and sin forever, for me to have a relationship with You. It's an act of obedience by faith, but it's Jesus who does the spiritual cleansing and the healing. Our healing is in the process of responding in obedience by faith. In verse 16, we see another phrase that's significant in cultivating a heart of thankfulness, that this one particular leper returned, and with a loud voice, he gave glory to God. What do? We reflect in God's mercy, respond in obedience, and rejoice, not just quietly. Now, I know that some of you are more quiet, reserved, and maybe in your house as you grew up, yelling was just not appropriate. That you were to be quiet, and maybe even in church, shh, be quiet, keep it down. But this guy, this leper, had had his entire life, his entire eternity changed because of his encounter with Jesus and because of what Jesus said and did in his life. And so now with a full voice, he was able to return and give glory to God, to respond, to rejoice in God's glory. This one man, he returned so that Jesus would get the glory of it. Even before he went on to the priest, even before he went on to tell his family, even before he went on to enjoy the benefits of it, he came back to make sure that God and Jesus got the glory of it. He didn't seek a private session to say thank you. No, at the loud voice, he screamed praise and thanksgiving so that everyone could hear, so that everyone would know of God's healing act of mercy. And in verse 17, Jesus asked, where are the others? Why did only one return in gratitude? And that's part of our cultivation of a heart of thankfulness, to return again and again and again to give glory to God and thanks to Jesus for what he's done. You know, with all of our technology today, it's so easy to listen to sermons online. In fact, we even broadcast our service here on Facebook Live. It's easy to be separate and to live an isolated Christian life. It's possible. But it's not what Jesus desires. He wants us to return to him together, to give praise to the Lord, to give thanks and gratitude. Not only to God in general, but there's something unique about this verse. That this is the only occurrence in the New Testament of a person giving thanks specifically to Jesus and not just to God the Father. This one leper was the one who was most concerned about his personal relationship with Jesus. And regardless of what the other nine were doing, he wanted to come back, to return and tell Jesus how thankful he was and make sure everybody else knew about it too. He came back because time with Jesus was worth it. Where are you this morning? Do you feel this sense of excitement and the desire, the anticipation every week of gathering together to sing praise to the Lord, to tell others, to share your story of God's faithfulness? Maybe not necessarily in healing your disease or your cancer. It may not be that significant, or it might be. It could be just the simple provision, the simple reminder of God's goodness, of God's grace and of his mercy. Simply saying thank you to God for what he's done. In view of God's mercy, specifically, we ought to give thanks to God's goodness and be quick at all times to rejoice rather than allow just the weighing down of time. You know, one of the things that we talk about often when it comes to grief is that time heals the grief. I don't think that's necessarily the case. Time just changes the perspective of it. The grief is always there. On the flip side, when it comes to things that we're rejoicing about, time doesn't change that. Time just kind of wears it down over time, where we don't acknowledge it, remember it. Think of how great maybe our grief was so that our rejoicing in eternity and our hope of eternity with Jesus and with loved ones who have gone before us who have placed their trust in Christ. I think one of the things that wears us down in our thankfulness is our forgetfulness. We just get busy with other things. We just get distracted. As we look at these other nine, what are some of the things that brought about the hardness of their thankfulness? Where are they? What were they doing? When they continued on to the priest, what were they thinking about? And when you consider the healing of 10 men, it's not surprising that one came back. I think the point of the story, the punch of this is, Why didn't all 10 come back, right? That's what Luke is pointing out, and that's exactly what Jesus is saying. The high point of this is, where are the other 9? Didn't any return to give glory except for this one Samaritan? Implying that the other 9 were Jews. It would have been expected for them to return and maybe understood if the Samaritan didn't. But instead, it's flipped. The one who was most grateful was the one who returned to give thanks. And instead of going to the priest, as the other 9 did, the Samaritan became a priest, and he came and built his altar at the feet of Jesus, offering a sacrifice of praise, offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So Jesus implies from the 9 who didn't return that ingratitude is something that and enter into a conversation and a relationship, but instead, the 9 kept going. What Jesus wanted was what he highlights of the one. So with that, of the many who received mercy from God, very, very few who returned to give thanks to God. But before we judge these 9, I think with all of Scripture, there's an aspect of, you know, with that self. What is our gratitude quotient? How do we measure up? An intelligent quotient measures your intellect, your mind's ability to process information and different things. There's an emotional quotient, how you're able to relate and connect and communicate with others was this gratitude quotient. And the implication is the other 9 were really low and they needed to raise it. What is it that causes us to give thanks? What is it that causes us to give praise? Are we quick to give thanks to God? Are we those who often give praise to Him? What are the things that keep us from returning quickly to give thanks? Well, maybe you're here this morning and you think, well, I just don't have that much to give thanks for. But if we look around, even in the worst of circumstances, in health or finance or relationships or struggles, where there's a reason for bitterness, there's always a reason to give thanks and express our gratitude. One of my favorite things years ago, and I hate that they're not there because they're always humorous and I found them insightful into just pop culture and those things, was a top 10 list from David Letterman. Do y'all remember those? David Letterman's top 10 list. Well, from here, there's not a top 10 list because only one returned. So there's a top 9 list for ingratitude. Here's what I see. My guess, just observing us and maybe me, of what are some of the reasons that we are slow to express gratitude for something that should cause us to say thank you? Here's one. Ungrateful. Simply being unappreciative. That maybe what was done wasn't above the call of duty. Or maybe it's a calloused heart. Number 2, maybe a feeling or an expectation. Being entitled. That, well, that's just what expected. That's maybe what Jesus should do. After all, He is God. That's what He came to do. Or maybe it's an attitude of self-confidence that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't really necessary. Or something else that God has done for us wasn't really needed, that, hey, I'm kind of doing okay on my own. Or maybe it's a contemptuous spirit. I think in the case of at least maybe one or two of these 9, that they kept going to the priest out of religious obedience. They recognized what happened, but their heart just wasn't in it. Maybe there was just careless planning. They were grateful, but they got so preoccupied with, oh, how are we going to get there? Who, you know, is the priest going to be open? Am I too early? Careless planning maybe on their part. Maybe they were too concerned about others of, oh, well, you know, only one's going back. The other 8 are going. I might as well go with them. The majority rules, right? Or maybe self-consumed with their own life. Maybe just selfish. Maybe waiting for others to lead, going along with the crowd. I think more often than not, the thing that keeps us from returning to give praise to God and give thanks to Jesus is we're just too busy. We're too busy doing good where the good got in the way of the best. Where something that most important, they were too busy obeying. Not that that was giving glory to God and thanking Jesus. Whatever it may be, it's really just a lame excuse. There's no reason that we should be part of the nine and even obediently be the one who returns to give glory to God. What did Jesus say in verse 19? He told him, "Get up and go on your way, for your faith has made you well." There's a faith of thankfulness. Power through Jesus, doing the healing action of removing this skin disease, removing this leprosy and the devastating effects of the body that led to thanksgiving. Faith that led to praise. The Greek word that is used here by Jesus, your faith has made you, saved you. It's the same word we see of salvation throughout the New Testament. Maybe specifically in Romans chapter 10, 13. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved," in the same way. Not only physically as this Samaritan leper was, but saved eternally by the mercy and grace of God. By sins paid for, redeemed by the blood of Jesus on the cross. And while it's wonderful to experience the miracle of physical healing, how much even more grateful are we? How more praise the Lord, more specific words of thanks and gratitude that come out of our mouths, that come from our pen, on our computer, wherever we might be able to communicate that and spread the word and shout it. That faith is a part of our thanksgiving. So where are you? Where are you this morning? Do you find yourself identifying maybe more as the one of the nine who are just kind of slow to say thanks, just kind of timid, tepid, maybe even cold? Have you missed the moments to praise God for His mercy? Are you and I going to be like the one who returns in praise? Well, let me provide something for you, just a little tool that you'll be able to use to express that. If you got your program, open that up and you'll find a little card. It says, "Thank you, Jesus, for," and it's blank. So that's where you come in, right? That's where you write down, have a specific opportunity today and over the next 2 weeks to give praise to God and to say thank you to Jesus. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to write it on your card. And right up here, you'll find tape. Thank you, Lord, for providing tape. And you can just tape it right up here. It doesn't have to be long. You can fill up both sides. You can write big. You can write small. Whatever it is, don't write your name. Just write this to Jesus. And sometime either today or during the week, or maybe next Sunday morning, come up and give your praise and thanks to God. Maybe you want to take some time to think about it more. Maybe all that you want to give praise to God about won't fit on a little index card. Well, this is just one opportunity among a lifetime of opportunities for us to demonstrate our faith in Jesus Christ that leads us to being thankful. The Bible is clear about our response to God for His mercy, His grace, and His loving kindness. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Colossians 3:17, "Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Ephesians 5, give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And most of all, as we anticipate the next couple weeks, as we prepare our hearts and our minds to praise Him on Good Friday, to reflect and to remember His sacrifice on the Saturday between Friday and Sunday, and as we come to celebrate on Easter morning, we among all people, even more than this leper, who returned to give glory and thanks to God, we more than anyone else, because of the full revelation of Scripture, because of the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, have reason to give praise to God, to say, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, for your grace, and for your love. Because after the resurrection, we can shout out the words from 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, not only of a baby born in Bethlehem, but of a Savior crucified in Jerusalem, was raised from the dead to show us His mercy and His grace.